Let's take our Bibles and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. If you would stand, I want to begin reading in verse 40. 1 Samuel 17, beginning in verse 40. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hurried and ran toward the Philistine, toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it, and it struck the Philistine in the forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Shamari, and even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines, and they plundered their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. But he put his armor in his tent. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God abides forever. You may be seated. As you well know, by this time, the armies of the Philistines and Israel are on opposite sides of the valley of Elah. The Philistines have a champion, a giant, who day after day defies the armies of Israel and their God. Goliath challenged the Israelite army to send forth a man to fight him to the death. Each warrior would represent their army and their people. The stakes were very high. The losing army and the losing nation would serve the victor and the victor's nation. Day after day for 40 days, Goliath descends into the valley and thunders forth his challenge. For 40 days, there was no response from the army of Israel. No soldier in Saul's army was prepared to go forth and battle the proud Philistine giant. The men of Israel were afraid of the Philistine, as was their king Saul. To fight the giant, each man in Saul's army was certain, would mean defeat, would mean death for them, and slavery for the people that they represented. Into this situation comes a young shepherd boy by the name of David, sent by his father. Sent by his father with supplies for his 3 older brothers who are in Saul's army. Sent by his father that David might find out how his brothers are faring. And so when David gets to the Valley of Elah, when he comes to the army of Israel, he leaves the supplies at the back of the line of the army of Israel, and he goes forward to the front. And there he meets with his older brother. And his older brother tries to question his motives in David being there. And he tells David that you know, he has left his father's sheep, he has forsaken the job that he had been given by his father to come to the front line just to find out what was going on. Well, that wasn't why David was there at all. David was there because his father sent him there. And so David has his motives impugned, just like sometimes people impugn our motives. They don't know our heart. They can't read our heart. But they make a good effort, or they think they make a good effort, and they think they actually can. Well, David is not persuaded by his brother to return to his father. But as David is there, there are two things that he is appalled by and astonished by. The first thing that he is appalled by is the wicked pagan giant who comes forth day after day to challenge the armies of Israel, to challenge a man from Israel to come and fight him. David is astonished that no man in Israel will take up that challenge. So he is appalled by the wickedness of Goliath. He is astonished at the weakness of Israel. And so David says, I'll go. He asked about the reward. Should a man go and fight and be victorious? He is told that there has been a generous reward offered by Saul, and in spite of that generous reward, still no man will go forth and fight. Well, Saul gets word about David being willing to take up Saul's Goliath's challenge. And so Saul calls for David. And David goes to Saul, and Saul is not impressed with this shepherd boy that stands before him. This unequipped, inexperienced teenage boy. And so he tries to dissuade David from going forth into battle. But David says, you misunderstand. You think I don't have any experience. And then David tells him about the experience he has, not in man-to-man combat, but in man-to-beast combat. And the victory that God had given him in the past over lions and over bears. And he was confident, David does, that God was going to enable him, in spite of the immense odds, God was going to enable him to be victorious. And so we come to the narrative this evening. And we find, first of all, David's equipment for battle. And you have to say that it's unimpressive. We read in verse 40 of 1 Samuel 17, he took his staff in his hand, he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So David has 3 things. He's got a shepherd's staff, he's got 5 stones, and he's got a sling. And that's it. That's all he's got. Now, what's the symbolism here? Is there symbolism? Well, I think there is symbolism between David and Goliath, and I'll point that out in a minute. But let me tell you what the symbolism is not. The 5 stones do not represent the 5 points of Calvinism. And Goliath does not represent Arminianism. That's not what is going on here. And we shouldn't think that way. Why David chose 5 stones, I have no idea. But I know that he did. And I know that he was confident that with those stones and his sling, he could defeat the giant. Now again, David's confidence is not a self-confidence. It is a confidence in God, and that's going to become very clear. And so David draws near to the Philistine giant, and so the Philistine giant comes toward him. And you might remember that on the giant's head there's a bronze helmet. You might remember that covering his torso was a coat of mail weighing 125 pounds. You might remember that he had bronze shields on his legs, so he was protected from head to toe. You might also remember that he had a javelin, that he had a spear that was the size of a weaver's beam, and the head of that spear weighed 15 pounds, and we know that he also had a sword. And so Saul is equipped to the hilt. And if you looked at those two men, you saw the young lad, you saw the older Goliath, you saw the smaller David, you saw the much, much taller Goliath. You knew of Goliath's experience and of David's inexperience. You saw the weaponry of Goliath and saw the weaponry of David. And if there were Vegas odds makers in those days, they would have given David zero chance of winning that battle. If you're going to put your money on somebody to win, put your money on Goliath. Put any money on David, you're going to lose your money. Well, Saul's shield bearer goes before him, and it says, "And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking." One commentator said the battle-hardened Philistine, and I quote, "sought a warrior to fight with, he gets a boy to annihilate." Robert Alter has this comment in his book, The Art of Biblical Narrative. I quote, "David's ruddiness, or red hair, it is not certain which the word means, and his good looks are not mentioned until the moment Goliath lays eyes on him in the middle of the battlefield. At such a moment, of course, those facts of appearance can be made to leap out at the Philistine as an added insult before the unexpected injury. A mere boy, and an egregiously red-headed pretty boy at that, has been sent to do battle with the mightiest Philistine warrior." Goliath disdains David. And he says, "Who do you think I am? Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his God. Goliath is insulted because he thinks the Israelites aren't taking him seriously enough. They sent a boy to battle him. Proud people cannot stand to be taken lightly. As it was in that day with Goliath, so it is in our day. Those who are proud, those who are arrogant, those who would defy God, are those people who cannot stand to be taken lightly. In fact, all of us are to bow down to their will and give in to their demands. That's the way they think in their arrogance. Well, Goliath was insulted. And he says to David then, "Come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." In other words, I will kill you in battle and I will leave your body to be eaten by the birds and the beast. Well, if you know anything about ancient customs, you know that one of the ways you could show your disdain for someone was to leave them unburied. To leave their body for creatures to eat. And the Philistine giant says that that is what he is going to do on David, to David that day. Well, what's David's response? Is David frightened? Does he run back to the armies of Israel? Does he turn back on Goliath and hightail it out of there? No, he stands and he says to the Philistine giant, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin. I come to you with a shepherd's staff and 5 stones and a slingshot." That's not what he says, is it? He says, "I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the army of Israel." David's confidence is in God. Not in those 5 stones, not in his sling, not in his staff. His confidence was in the Lord his God, because he knows God to be the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. He knows how powerfully in the past God has delivered his people from even greater odds. And so David's confidence is fully in the Lord his God. And he says of Goliath that the God that is with me is the God you have defied. And he is accusing Goliath of blasphemy. He has blasphemed God. David goes on to say, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand. I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beast of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." David says, "God will make me victorious. What you purpose to do to me, I will do to you and to the army of the Philistines. And I will do that, and God will give me victory so that," and this is its evangelistic purpose, "all the nations will know that there is a God in Israel." He wants everyone throughout the earth who hears about this confrontation to know that God is God. The God of Israel, he is indeed God, as Nebuchadnezzar said. That's what David wants everyone in all the earth to know. But he also wants that victory so that the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. You see, that's what the Israelites had forgotten. They had clamored for a king. Why? So that they might be like the other nations, that their king might lead them to battle, that they might fight like the other nations fought, that they might be led into battle, that they might have the same leadership and the same kind of armament as the nations that they were going to battle. And Israel had forgotten their God and had forgotten that God had promised to fight for them against their enemies. In fact, when Goliath cursed David by his gods, that is by Goliath's gods, Goliath was in effect calling God's curse upon himself. Why is that? Well, what was God's promise to Abraham and to the descendants of Abraham? Those who bless you, I will bless. Those who curse you, I will curse. David took that to heart. David believed that. David believed that God would be on his side and that by God's power, he would win the victory, that Goliath would be defeated and his army decimated. And so it was. The Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David. And you got to know that Goliath could hardly move and all that stuff he's weighed down with to protect his body and to battle with. And it says David ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. It says then David, you can imagine David's running and then he stops. Reaches his hand in his bag. He takes out one of those 5 stones about 2 to 3 inches in diameter. He puts it in his sling. Now, a sling would have a pouch about, I don't know how big, but, you know, about that size, I would guess. And it would have leather straps at each end. And so the rock would fit in that. David put that rock in the pouch. He took the strings, put them together, and started twirling his sling above his head. And then at the right moment, he let one of the strings go, and that rock goes flying. Now here's the thing. A person who is expert with a sling could throw that stone, or could sling the stone, I should say, 100 to 150 miles per hour. And they could be very precise with their aim. In fact, in Judges chapter 20, at verse 16, it's talking about the Benjamites. It says, among all this people were 700 select men who were left-handed. Everyone could sling a stone at a hair's breadth and not miss. They could be deadly accurate with those things. And David was skilled with a sling. And so the stone strikes the Philistine in the forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to earth. Now, here's something else. Remember, what had Goliath done? He defied not only the army of Israel, he had defied God. He had blasphemed. Blasphemy in Israel was a capital offense. How was the execution to be carried out? Leviticus chapter 24, verse 16. And whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall be surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him. You see, David is acting on behalf of all the congregation of Israel in carrying out this judicial sentence against this blaspheming pagan giant. David stones him to death. And the giant falls flat on his face, just like the giant's god Dagon in 1 Samuel chapter 5. And we read, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. That's it. And struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in David's hand. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took the Philistine's sword and drew it out of its sheath and killed him, cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. And when they fled, when the army of Israel saw the victory that David had won over the Philistine champion, that emboldened them now to take action themselves and pursue the fleeing army of the Philistines. And as they did, there was a great slaughter and a great victory. Now, there is some symbolism that we find in chapter 17. And the symbolism is this. David, the shepherd king, represents Christ. And Goliath represents Satan and those whose father is Satan. Those who are bound up with Satan and those who do Satan's will. When David, the shepherd king, approached Goliath to do battle, what did the text say? The text says that Goliath disdained. What do you think Satan's attitude was toward Christ? Do you not think that Satan disdained Christ? And what about the people in the nation of Israel? What was their view of Christ? It was this. He was despised and we did not esteem him. They disdained Christ when he came. And is it any different today? What is the attitude, it seems, of an increasing majority in our culture toward Christ and his church? What is it? They disdain us. You come to us with sticks. You come to us with a dusty old book. And that book means nothing to us. And the God of that book means nothing to us. And that Christ that you think was the Son of God, he was just a man. And they disdain. They disdain God. They disdain those who represent God. And so you see things change. But the people change. The conflict does not. And the attitude does not. David was cool as a cucumber, was he not? Even in the face of the threat of Goliath. And when Christ came after that night in the garden where he prayed three times that God would remove that cup from him, and he also prayed that if that wasn't God's will, that was okay, he would drink it. After that night, when David stands before Pilate, he stands before others. Is he anything but calm? Because his faith is in the Heavenly Father. His faith is in God. And he will do the will of God by going to the cross. And as he goes to the cross, he defeats sin and death and hell. And how does he do it? By his own death. Satan thought on that day on Calvary's Hill when Christ was nailed to the cross and died that he had won the victory. But had he? He had not. Because it was on the cross that God, that Christ accomplished our salvation. And when Jesus was placed in the tomb and was there for 3 days, on the third day, He conquered death by rising from the dead. And you see the very thing that Satan did to try to defeat Jesus was the very thing that Jesus used to defeat him. We read in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, through death he destroyed, talking about Christ, through death he destroyed the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and delivered all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. In other words, as one commentator said, the sword of Goliath turned against himself, the weapon by which he was to annihilate his foe, he employed by that very foe to sever his head from his body, was an emblem of Satan's weapons turned by Christ against Satan. The other thing we see is that Jesus Christ fought and won the victory over sin, over death, and over hell as what? Our representative. And in Christ, the victory that He won is our victory. When David conquered Goliath, on behalf of who? On behalf of all the Israelite army and all the nation of Israel. And when Christ conquered Satan and death and sin, He conquered that for those whom He represented. He conquered them for us. And in His victory, we have victory. And then, finally, there is the joy of the Israelite army over the victory of the Shepherd King. And that joy that we have because of the victory of our representative, because of the victory of the greater David, the Lord Jesus Christ, because of His victory, our joy should far exceed the joy of the Philistine army. And we as God's people, knowing the Lord our God, knowing that He is the God of hosts, we should be emboldened in our culture, in our day and age, to stand for the truth, to stand for Christ, to be unashamed of the proclamation of the gospel, because we know for certain that victory is who? Victory is ours, because the victor is Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the encouragement of this battle between David and Goliath and what it teaches us about the battle that persists in our own day and age between Christ and the church and those who disdain Christ and His bride. Heavenly Father, we thank You that the victory that Christ won on the cross is our victory. And we thank You, our Heavenly Father, that because Christ has won the victory for us, that we can, with confidence, stand firm in our own day and age. Father, we pray that as David's concern in fighting Goliath was Your honor and glory, so, Father, we pray that that would be our chief concern as well. And we pray, Father, that through us, You would glorify Yourself. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.